On this episode, we are talking to someone that has faced a lot in her life, and it's not just because she's my sister. Today, I had the honor of talking with one of my sisters, Kinsey Burke. Kinsey has lived a lot of life as an athlete and as a person, even though she's only 18. In this conversation, we get to hear about how she has dealt with a massive obstacle in her life, which was having a hip replacement at 13 years old. While, you know, of course, I knew about this while she was going through it and that this was a major, major thing that had happened to her, you're going to be able to tell how even today I am still in shock of everything that she's gone through. As her big brother, I am so proud of the woman that she has become, and you're going to get to hear about what she has learned through this entire process, why she continues to battle to be an athlete after this, and how she uses this testimony to glorify God. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Competing for Christ podcast. I'm your host, Ken Burke, and our guest today is someone that is actually related to me by blood, Kinsey Burke.
Woo!
Kinsey, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Kenneth.
Yeah, so no one knows me as Kenneth, but we can go with that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Ken Harold.
No, don't say Ken. I can't say that I have too many people on that are related to me, my blood, but it's an honor. But the reason I wanted to have you on today is because, first of all, you're awesome. Let me go through your resume real quick. You're just a senior in high school, but you're the homecoming queen. You're a volleyball star. You're a podcast host of the Poodcast, if I should say the name. I'll make that plug right there. And you're a future Jacksonville University Dolphin. How did those things make you feel?
I just hearing them all together now, it makes me sound like a big deal, I gotta say. I'm very proud, I guess. It's shocking.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I'm very proud as well. But second of all, and on a serious level, I wanted to have you on because you have had an insane story to get to where you are through injuries and trials and just everything that you've gone through. So first of all, kick us off by telling everybody what you've gone through in terms of sports with your injuries and in your walk with Christ.
Yeah. So like, I mean, I'm sure you know, like we've been raised as a Christian household. Like we've been taught the importance of being with Christ. And I didn't really understand that a lot growing up. I mean, I didn't think of it that much. And we were also raised like in sports, and we all played a bunch of different sports. And so that was where I got a lot of my like importance from. And starting from a young age, I was really like, okay, next year I'm gonna do this. And then when I get to high school, I'm gonna be able to be all of these amazing things and be so popular for how good I am at sports. And so I really like, I cared a lot about sports, and I thought that was like my main thing. Like I'm gonna do this, and that all I need to worry about is sports. And so when I was, I started playing volleyball in seventh grade. And so my first season, at the end of my first season, I started having like pain in my hip and in my lower back. And so I went to a physical therapist, and after a month of being there, and they saw that like my muscle was just weak and that my range of motion in my right leg wasn't good at all for my age, they said that I should go to an orthopedic. And so I went to orthopedic. They said that it was a hip flexor strain, which is just a muscle in your leg, and that I should be back to playing sports as regular pretty soon. I played softball. I made the softball team at my school, but I wasn't able to actually play a game because I got hurt. I my pain came back, and so I had to quit the softball team. I went to another doctor in January of 2019, who saw that I had, after x-rays, that I had a condition called a SCIFE, and which is a slipped capital femoral epiphysis, which is basically like where your hip is starting to slide out of its socket. And so that was happening to my hip, where if it got worse, I would have to have a screw through the side of my leg to keep it in place. And so this was like crazy. Yeah, it was not what other doctors had said before, and I was freaking out, and I got placed on crutches immediately. Which was great because the pain was terrible, and it sucked to walk, and I couldn't run. So the crutches helped a little bit, but the pain was still there. And so this kind of like started like a really big cycle of like going to one doctor and them diagnosing me and then saying that I would have to be on medication the rest of my life, and I wouldn't be able to like play sports again or run really. And I had many like MRIs done and biopsies done, and all of them were inconclusive. All they found was just liquid in my leg. And like looking at the x-rays from like December to April of the next year, my hip bone was just like broken. It was just like, well, it was like deteriorating, and the hip bone was like going out of its socket. It looked ugly. And so I was like 13 at this time, and I had no idea like what was going on. I didn't understand. I never had a surgery before. I never broke my arm or any kind of bone. And so I was just terrified, and I didn't understand what was going on, and I didn't think about God really. I thought this was kind of like a punishment in a way, even though I thought I was a good person. Like I thought I was a good kid. I did everything right. But so this was like, it started getting really like scary, like April of 2019, where every doctor was just saying that I had arthritis, and even though I had no family history of it, and that there was it's only in that one bone, so it wouldn't make sense if it was arthritis. But every doctor I went to said I would have to be on medication for the rest of my life. I don't know. It was shocking for me because I didn't believe it, and like my mom, she was kind of like my anchor, because she was the only one who like actually fought for what I it was up to me. I would just, just accept it and go on medication. So I remember her, I remember me going to bed every night, and I wouldn't be able to go to sleep because the pain was so bad, and I couldn't like turn or whatever, because like I the pain in my hip just kept me still. And I would like cry myself to sleep because of how bad it hurt and how confused I was. And at this time, I just remember asking God, like, get me out of this pain, heal this pain from me. I want to go back to playing sports. And when that wasn't working, I was like, I don't know what else to do. I feel like this is the only thing that I'm supposed to do is just ask God. He's supposed to give it to me. And so at some point, I went to some kind of pediatric doctor. And he wasn't very emotional in telling me how he felt, but he said, yeah, you're gonna be on medication the rest of your life. And I was like, oh, okay. And I remember mama got really angry at him. He was like, why would you tell that to a 13-year-old girl? Like, that's so, like, you're not, sympathetic at all. And I just sat there, and I just felt numb at this point. And I was just like, I don't know what to feel. Like, I didn't understand. I felt like, I was grieving, but I was like, there must be more. Like, I can't have just, this condition the rest of my life, and that's it. And so I remember going to church one day, and for youth, and the pastor was talking about being content and how God is our source, or Jesus is our source of joy, because He died for us, and that should be enough. And so that night I prayed to God. I was like, you know what? Even if you don't heal me, I don't care. If this is supposed to be some kind of thing that's permanent, and I touch people through, you find a way through my disability or whatever, I'm okay with that. I just want to be content. And then from that point on, I remember going to these doctors and like having these tests done, and I just felt at peace. I don't know. I felt like there was just like a warmth in my heart, and I was like, I didn't understand it until like 2 years later, looking back, and I was like, wow, that was God. Like, God, He kept me safe. And when everyone around me was saying, how, oh, I'm so sorry, you must be, I hope you feel better, I was just like, I don't know what, I don't know. Like, I know that there's more. And so, like August of 2019, my mom, she heard from one of her friends who had a placement about this doctor who was really good, and we were like, okay, we'll try it out. Like, we don't, I think what's gonna he's gonna say the same thing as everyone else, but we're gonna try it as last resort. And so we went there, and it was pretty crazy because I remember him like laying out a plan of action from like the very beginning, the first appointment, and he didn't like shut us down like right away. He like said, okay, we're gonna do this and this and this. And I had a biopsy done, which is where they get liquid out of, your bone, and then they test it. And then that was inconclusive. And so we did arthroscopy, which is where they took a chunk of bone from my hip and they tested it. And both of them just showed destruction in my leg. It just showed that, like, they don't know what it's from, but it's messed up. And so we decided to do a hip replacement, a total hip replacement. And the reason why, like, no other doctor advised it before was because I was so young and because they thought that I would have to get replaced later on, which would be bad, and they didn't want to open up the wound 20 years down the line and 20 years again. So, but he was the first one to say there's options that could last permanently if it works out, if it works out the way that, we want it to. And so in November of 2019, I got a total hip replacement, and it worked out perfectly. Like, the sizing of the hip replacement was perfect for my body, even though I was young. And then I had a like a month or two of recovery, and then I slowly started getting clear to go back to playing sports. And so, yeah, 4 years later, I'm good. I played volleyball all 4 years. I've also played flag football. I did a little bit of weightlifting. And so, yeah, I mean, God has delivered me from pain even when I don't deserve it, even though it wasn't guaranteed. But I've learned, like, looking back 5 years, yeah, this year will be 5 years, I just say that God loves me. Like, and it wasn't because he gave me the hip. It wasn't because I'm perfectly fine. It was because he put me in a situation that I was in pain, but even during, like, the misery and the grief, I was still content. And he gave me this testimony. Like, I'm so grateful that I have it, because, like, if I didn't, I'd be so, like, I wouldn't be able to connect with people as I do now. I wouldn't be able to, like, tell people this is what God did for me. And it's not that he could do the same thing for you. It's that he loves everyone enough to put you through this thing to save you. I learn something new every day, really. Like, I think about it, it's always on my mind, is its connection to, like, how my character is now. But yeah, I mean, just got it, like, that is my testimony. Like, without it, I don't know where I would be. I would be on a completely different path right now.
Hearing you say it out loud, I'm just like, what the heck? Like, I
Big deal.
obviously it was 2019, so I was out of the house at this point. I was a freshman or sophomore in college. And I mean, I remember talking to mom, and she was just be like, yeah, Kenzie's having a hip replacement. I'm like, a hip replacement? She's 13. Like, what? Are you kidding me right now? And I still can't believe do you think you're the youngest person ever to have your hip replacement?
I don't know. I maybe ever. I don't know. I remember my surgeon saying that he's had this. I'm the youngest one to have a total hip replacement, because he's had, like, he said that he did a partial hip replacement, like, on some babies before. But I was probably his youngest patient, and he said, he's been doing it for a long time. So I don't know.
Gosh.
I could be. Kind of crazy to think about.
Hey, I mean, they might call that the Kenzie Burke surgery in the future. Do you ever think you'll understand why God brought you through that?
I think the purpose he put me into it, like, part of it at least, was so that I have a testimony, so that I might save other people. I mean, like, now we doctors still don't know, like, what it was that made my hip that way. They don't know, there was no reason for it. But I don't know. I think the older I get, and maybe the deeper I get in my faith and my relationship with God, I might have some, like, realization or something, and there might be some reasoning for it. But I don't know. Maybe the reason was just so that that people could see what God can do in someone's life.
Yeah. That's so wild. I can't even fathom what you went through. And I mean, like, I don't think I knew the extent of it until, like, you actually had the surgery, because I was like, you know, maybe I was, to be honest, I was like, maybe she's being dramatic. That's maybe what, like, no, the pain isn't.
That's what everyone thought. Yeah.
When, what did they tell you after the surgery? Were they just like, the hip was just terrible? It was just deteriorated?
Yeah. I have a picture of it.
Oh, like, that's
Dr.
right.
Redmond took a picture of it. It was disgusting. It looked bad. I mean, they said that it looked worse than they thought. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I remember seeing that now. Oh my gosh. That's wild. So throughout your trials as, you know, getting in a hip replacement and being injured and stuff like that, you, like you just said, you played volleyball through high school. You played flag football through high school. Why were you so determined to do that throughout your high school career? Like, if the doctor told you that you would have been able to play sports, I'm sure you would have been like, yeah, you're crazy. You know what I mean? Because that's unthinkable if you have a hip replacement, but you did. So why were you so determined to do that?
Whenever I went back to sport, like I went back to volleyball, like immediately, I think, I went back to it as soon as I could. And I remember like having a mini identity crisis because I was behind all of those girls at my same age. Cause I lost like a year and a half of like development in that sport. And I remember like coming home from practice and I was like, I'm not good enough. Like I shouldn't have tried out. And It took a while, but like I talked with like my mom and like other, like my friends. And I was like, I don't get the point of having hip replacement if I can't play volleyball. And my mom, she kind of like snapped it, like made me realize. I was like, she said that, Kinsey, you were in so much pain that you couldn't walk. Like, God didn't give you a hip replacement so you could play volleyball. And so after that, I was like, oh, like, you're right. Like, I don't need to play volleyball. Like, I don't need to play sports. And I've grown to love it so much. And I'm like, I get to play volleyball. That's why I play it. Like, I enjoy playing it and I get to show others the joy and love of Christ through volleyball. And so I play it. And so, yeah, that's meant, like, it's taken a long time for me to realize that, but like, really, I couldn't, like, moving forward, I thought I was going to play in college. And I was like, kind of, that was like my driving force for playing, where I was like, I have to get better, or else I won't play in college. And now that I'm kind of like, I'm not that worried about it. Like, that's not my focus. I really just want to get to college first. But I kind of realized that, like, God gave me volleyball for his joy, and for like, it's a passion he gave me. And I should be honoring that by like, actually wanting to play it and not just thinking it's a task that he made me do.
Yeah, I think that's such a unique perspective from what, you know, what you have, because you were just like, yeah, now I get to do this. God could have said, like, this is not my plan for you, so I'm, maybe you'll be on medication for your whole life, but didn't, that wasn't his plan. So you've been someone that I look up to a lot for just determination and hard work, because you're probably one of the smartest people that I know, and you're 18 years old and you face so many challenges in sports and so many challenges throughout your life. How have you balanced working hard with trusting that God has a plan for you?
Well, yeah, that's like been like my main source of like anxiety, like for the past like couple of years. I'm like, I don't know. Am I supposed to like worry about it, or am I supposed to just sit back and let it happen? And so I think that really, like, I've had to learn like to trust that God has a plan for me. And like, part of that is just talking to him and like reading scripture and seeing how like past apostles and how they have had such tougher lives than I have. And that God delivered them and he had a plan for them all along. And so, like, really, I think it's more about talking to God and asking God. And then when he gives you a next step for something that you think he's calling you to, that you're supposed to, that you should work towards that, like doing the next thing and then the next thing, like, not, cause I get caught up in like the whole picture and being like, well, am I going to be able to do this thing that I want to do when God has given me so many situations where like they just perfectly aligned, like they just didn't think about them before, like going to JU, for example. I My grandma, she told me about it before, and I was like, that's not like, I don't really want to go to JU. It doesn't seem like a big deal. And then, but at that time, I was so worried about college. Like, I was like, I have no idea where I'm going to go. And then I just happened to visit it one day, and it was perfect. Like, everything I wanted to do was there, and I got a great scholarship for going there. And that was just one of the things where, like, I didn't think about it before, but somehow, some way, I was able to go and look at it, and then now God has put this like position in my life where it just lined up perfectly. Like, it's just working out great. And I think that's like you can tell, like, that's God's plan. Like, I had another plan, but he redirected me.
You're 6 years younger than me, but you sound like 25 years older than me. Like, you're just, it's wild. I can't even, I mean, it's because you've lived so much life in such a small period of time. But wow, this is just awesome, crazy craziness. Anyways, as you are, like you were just talking about, you are looking forward to JU next year. How do you think you'll stay connected with Jesus in your time in college?
I've learned a lot recently about like having a friend group and like people who are around, like, who are similar to you that are godly, and like when you have a situation or a problem, they don't just tell you like, oh, do this. Like, they say like, yeah, you gotta talk to God about it. Like, you gotta go to him. And so really, I really have to make sure I stay, like, I want to stay connected with like some kind of Bible study group or a youth group, and like really focusing more on, like, instead of asking God for something when I'm in need and like hoping he gives it to me, just like making it more natural in my life to talk to him, and like realizing that God's with me through everything. Like, I don't need to be working for him. Like, I don't need to work for his love or whatever. He's always gonna be with me. And that built, like, that goes in with like having people who remind you that like God is just a natural part of your life, whether you like it or not. Like, when you ask him into your heart, he's gonna be with you. And so I wanna, through college, I just wanna make sure that I'm still talking to God through scripture, and then like just getting deeper in my faith through that.
Yeah, that was on my notes. I mean, that we literally what you just said was just say yes to things, because we haven't talked about you going to college yet. But for myself, when I went to college, it was so easy for me to stay in my dorm room because I'm such an introvert and don't want to really do anything. But once I said yes to, I literally said yes to one thing, and I met my wife. I met Lulu. Like that's literally the first thing that I said yes to, which was wild. But you know, if you meet your husband like that, that's going to be even more insane. But
Nice.
I'm not going to even think of that right now. Please don't make me think of that. Oh my gosh. But
That'd be
yeah,
crazy.
just please. Yeah. Just make sure to, like you just said, say yes to things and be planted in scripture and be around people that really push you to be a better you, because I think you're doing that right now very well. But as we're starting to wrap up, what are you going to miss most about being a high school athlete and a high school student?
Okay, I was thinking about this. Okay, and it's not just like in general being a high school student. I think like being a high school student at the school I go to is definitely the people. Like, my freshman year, I was like terrified of high school, and I was like, I'm just gonna like stay alone in my bubble and not gonna talk to anyone. And now I'm the homecoming queen, like, which it's just so weird. I didn't expect it. And so I'm so lucky to go to a school where everyone's like so close-knit and everyone kind of knows each other. And so yeah, I'm gonna miss like having like growing up with the same group of people as I do now.
Very important last question. What sibling do you love the most? Because this podcast, it's a make or break depending on what you say here.
Okay. Two answers, and okay. You know what? Okay, I told Daddy this is one of the questions, and he said I should say Chloe. And I was like, well, that's not the answer, I feel like. I think that's not what he wants me to say. I'm gonna say I love all of my siblings equally because they are all their own person, and I love them so much. Yeah, that's my answer.
Okay. All right. Well, I think I know, and all of the audience knows where your true answer is. But anyways, Kenzie, it was an honor to have you on today. I don't say this near enough as I should, but I'm so proud of you, and I'm not getting emotional right now. But I'm very proud big brother, and I'm very grateful to have you as a sister.
Thank you so much, Kenneth. So nice to see you. You're making me cry if I think about this more.
For all of our listeners out there, please make sure to share this episode and subscribe to the show. It means more to us than you know. If you don't get anything else from this, just remember this. Jesus loves you, and he's going to fight for you no matter what. Talk to y'all next time.